Hi, this is Dawn Shireen. This is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. So I know it's only been like a few days since I've done the last show, but I just kind of felt compelled to talk to you all for, I don't know, as long as it takes, I guess, right? We never know how long. And just touch base and like, but you all know that I made it through Thanksgiving, and if you're listening to it, so did you. Yay! American Thanksgiving, anyway, right? Because I realized that an awful lot of y'all aren't in the United States, and I just wanted to give a shout out to Poland, Tajikistan, Mongolia, oh my gosh, there's a couple other countries too, which I didn't write them down, but you know who you are, for helping me rank on Apple and keep on charting. And it's humbling at best, to tell you the truth, that you guys continually listen and support the show. And I really appreciate each and every one of you that listens and shares or takes something away from it, other than the fact that I'm a goofball who cries. No, maybe not as a lot anymore because I'm working through some of this stuff. But you guys put up with me, and I love you all for that. So then, like I said, I'm really grateful to have made it through Thanksgiving. It was rough, I'm not gonna lie, and I'm still having like residual effects of knowing Christmas is coming up, and then the ultimate shebang of my birthday on January 1st, which I never look forward to. But Thanksgiving was a bit of a struggle, and you know, living in a house full of people that, you know, we call each other family, but we're not family, and all the different personalities and all the stuff that is fraught with a whole group of women living together. You know, and if I need to spell it out, it's called G-O-S-S-I-P, and it gets to be really troublesome. And along with G-O-S-S-I-P comes lies, and then comes slander, and then comes betrayal, and then comes animosity, which is like the word of the day, I think. So I'm at the animosity part of it because I guess maybe because I've actually started separating myself from the herd, so to speak. I've actually singled myself out, right? But it doesn't mean that I deserve to be slandered, lied about, you know, threatened, which is a new one in the house, but it's still happening. And in fear again, which is just not cool because I didn't come here to be placed back in fear, waiting for someone to injure me or injure my property, and here we are. So it's a problem for me. And can I leave here? Sure, I can leave here. Is it a wise decision? No, it's a terrible decision. So I'm just kind of putting up with it, and you know, watching my back again and all this stuff. I mean, it's not as bad as it was in Lakeside, but nonetheless, my life has been threatened by somebody who's not in the house anymore, but rumor is we'll be returning back to the house again, and all the shenanigans will start again with, you know, her being babied all the time and everybody else being, you know, the warmonger, and her being the little victim when it's actually the opposite, and she's just manipulative, and it's just harsh, you know. And as a human being, the fairness issue, right, comes into play, and it's like, when do I get coddled? When do I get anything positive? When does, you know? And then that's selfish because I don't know, I guess I'm of that age where I shouldn't need to be reminded all the time that I'm doing a good job or that I'm following the course or, you know, any of that stuff. But seeing other people get praised for just putting their socks on right, you know, it really makes doing the right thing all the time just seem like a useless. That's not really the word I'm looking for. Like, it doesn't matter, I guess, because now it's expected of me to continually do the right thing because that's how I came into this. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. It's just, maybe I'm unhappy, but I'm not really unhappy. I'm still grateful for this. I'm grateful I'm not, you know, back in Lakeside where, you know, my toilet had been shot up and my water was chlorinated and it was cold and my house was falling apart and, you know, Peanut was in danger and I was in danger, you know, and it was horrible and traumatic living in that trailer, to be honest. And And I keep thinking about the stuff that got left, and the further distance I get from having been there, you know, as with anything, well, not anything, but as with anything materialistic, unless it has some kind of sentimental value to you, it just becomes less and less important, and it just doesn't really matter. Now, people and Peanut, you know, I actually got around to canceling Peanut's health insurance the other day, and that was like the final blow of knowing that I'm never going to get him back. You know, not that I deserve to, or not that I could afford to, or not that I should, because of the way that it ended, but that was a final blow, you know. And now it's like, I don't know anything about if I'm ever going to get another pet again. I most certainly will probably never get another dog. The commitment for a dog is, I should have known after Doc, what I was getting into with Peanut. I should have known, but I was in grief over Doc. And even though Christopher was still alive, there was a lot of stuff going on with him, and my emotions were running really high, and I didn't necessarily know that he was gonna, you know, commit suicide, but I definitely knew he was on a downward spiral. So I was kind of grieving the loss of what he was prior to what he became. Yeah, that's really enigmatic, right? That may or may not make any sense, but So I guess what I'm trying to say to y'all at this juncture of the podcast is, if you're grieving, or if you're in some kind of emotional turmoil, or emotional turmoil is a good word, or you're manic, or you're like way depressed, don't make any like super important life decisions, because you're probably gonna regret them at some point in time when you're more stable and look back on it and realize that either what you did was really selfish, or you know, it cost you something, you know, or it was a fill-in gap for something else, and now it's just become problematic because it's expensive, or it just takes up too much time, or you are discovering that you don't have time for yourself, or just lots of reasons why, you know, doing things because of grief are not, I'm going to promise you right now, you're not going to make the wisest decisions because you're not thinking straight. Wow, huh? So, you know, because grief alters your mind. There's no joke to this. Just like happiness alters your mind, grief alters your mind, and you're not thinking right. You're overwhelmed. Overwhelmed is a good word, you know. But you're not in your right mind, literally. So making decisions during grief is a bad idea, which is why when I came here, because I honestly was grieving. I was grieving my sanity. I was grieving my way of life. Even though I hated it, I still grieved it because it was my life, you know. And coming here, I grieved the loss of my privacy. I grieved, of course, Peanut and the cats. I grieved I grieved a lot. But you know, in hindsight, and now that I'm a little, it's been a month on Thanksgiving since I came here. I really am understanding that there was a plan behind this, not my plan, but there was a plan behind this, and ultimately, this is all going to work out for the best. I think I saw Peanut on Facebook today at somebody I used to know. I think it was Peanut. He looked super duper 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 happy. So even if it wasn't Peanut, that's a sign to me that Peanut is super duper duper happy. And just like with my daughter, you know, having to gift her to a family when I was 17, it's kind of the same. It's not the same, but it's the same, if that makes any sense, of releasing something that you love beyond love in order for the best interest of what you love. Does that make sense, guys? I hope so, because I'm not really sure right now. No, I'm not crying. I'm actually sick, And because of the hours of the house, I can't go back until 3, and it is now, I have a while to go. So I'm sitting under a tree in my favorite place, which is becoming like the campground was in Lakeside. It's quick to get to, and it's pretty isolated. I mean, lots of people walking, and lots of doggies, and no deer. Although, I really think I saw a deer shadow on a tree earlier when I came to sit down, and I just threw out an overly peanut butter sandwich. So I might walk a little slowly away from here when I leave and see if the deer come here and wish I had a glass of milk after they eat this peanut butter sandwich, because I couldn't eat it. But you know, I'm not starving by any means, so you know, actually you don't know. I mean, I'm mentally more stable than I was before. It's kind of funny because I'm more stable, but I feel less grounded, which I actually do think makes sense. I'm really trying to become part of the community that is not a homeless community, all right? But this is like so confusing. I literally am homeless, okay? I still own that trailer in Lakeside. Although by now they could have filed an abandoned title on it or whatever. The place is a piece of shit. And, you know, I couldn't get insurance on it. So it's like even any kind of accident to it wouldn't benefit me at all. It almost really seems like if the thing just caught on fire, it would be the best way to clear that whole area, you know. Like I talked about a little bit, I'm starting to come, bits and pieces are coming back as to what was happening in my brain, or what was being made for me to think was happening in my brain. And it's you know, I think I repressed it for a very good reason, because it's just too much. It's really too much to handle. See, I really think there's a deer standing over on the corner behind a tree, but I'm not sure. But anyway, birds. But I think I've repressed it, because whether it's real or not, it's still really disturbing. And we have had some issues in the house with some really evil stuff going on. And this is like a Christian-based house, right? So, I mean, why would evil want to come here? Of course, right? And it's gotten pretty deep. And I wasn't really sure, like, if it was partially me with the whole thinking I had been the stigmata thing and bringing that into the house, right, in a way without actually realizing that I did it. But I realize now that I am not the stigmata. And I really don't even actually understand what the stigmata is, because whenever I bring it up to anybody who is of faith, they immediately shut the conversation down and are like, we shouldn't really talk about this. God is telling me not to talk to you about this. God is saying, don't talk about this. And I'm like, I just really want to understand what it is and why I would think that I was that without any kind of trigger, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe there was a trigger, but I don't think I've ever seen a movie where they talk about it. Okay, yeah, Ministry has a song, but I still didn't really know what it was. I mean, I know it meant you were bleeding out of your palms and your feet, and that I knew. I mean, I think everybody knows that. But why I would think I was a stigmata when I wasn't even, like, I wasn't really delving into religion. I was delving into theology, but a little bit, but I wasn't really delving into religion where that would come up, because I haven't actually looked yet, but I don't even think this is ever mentioned in the Bible or even in the book of Revelation. I don't think it's ever brought up. So I don't know. I'm still really confused about what was going on with that. And last time I was in therapy, we did actually start to talk about it a little bit, because I'm trying to be really honest with this lady so we can get to the root of the problem and figure out, you know, what happened, right? I mean, I know what happened, and the eviction thing really, really blew me out of the water, and so this is kind of, like, ironic, right? And the fear of being homeless, like, really terrified me, and now what am I? I'm chosen homelessness, kind of. Even though I don't feel homeless because the place I live in is a mansion and I have a bed and I have food and I have, if I wanted to watch TV, I could. I have electric, I have hot water, and I have all this, and I don't have to pay for any of it, right? And even though I'm more than willing to, but they will not accept money from me. You know, it's just like, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's kind of like a mini vacation for me, which is like, I'm homeless, so to speak. I have an address. This is where it gets confusing. I have income, and if I had to, I could, you know, I wouldn't live very well, but I could get a hotel and, like, give them, you know, 95% of my money and then, you know, try to live off that. It's like I have means, but it's almost like I'm using it, but I'm really not, because I'm not well yet. I'm not well enough to actually go back out there and, you know, do bills and be responsible. And, you know, I mean, I gotta tell you right now, just the luxury of having a actual flushing toilet is like, makes me feel like a princess, you know, having had to deal with bodily functions the way I did at the house after, you know, the thing happened with my bathroom and my walls and, you know, all this stuff that legitimately really did happen. So there's that. God, I wish I knew what I was actually trying to talk to you guys about, because this is just a rambling, and, I mean, it's going somewhere. So I guess kind of, like, the point of it is if you need help, seek help. And I guess this is kind of going back to one of the roommate situations with the being threatened and her having left the house and the demon thing that she may have conjured up or conjured up because of her, or because of her and other people that are no longer in the house, or I don't know. But I remember when I said that the house needed an exorcism, I put it on my Facebook, and sure than shit, man, we got anointed last night. There was all kinds of, not necessarily an exorcism, but kind of an exorcism. And I'm not really sure that it helped, because the people are just so negative in there, and they're not understanding that this is not a place to be sacrilegious. You know, when we come in here, we sign a contract, and we know what the deal is, and we know about chapel, and we know what the basis of this place is all about. And like I said earlier, I didn't have a problem with that, because I feel like I was led here to maybe combat the belief I was a stigmata, but in either way to I know I'm gonna sound like a holy roller now, and I'm not a holy roller either, but to just spread the word that, you know, maybe we're not so good on our own, and maybe whether or not God exists, which, you know, I think he does, all right, and that's all that really matters right now. I think God exists, that, if I can be a messenger of that, I mean, if we're just a messenger of how to live right, you know, I'm doing AA too, like, after 14 years of sobriety, and no, I didn't go back to drinking, but, it's a precautionary, like, you know, preventive maintenance type thing for me, because it would be so easy for me to slip. And, you know, the holidays are tough, and this Thanksgiving was, like, really tough, and I was holding a lot of resentments towards people who, I don't really need to get into it, but I'm just gonna say I did a lot of dishes. I put away a lot of dishes. I dried a lot of dishes with very little help or minimal to no help. And I held a lot of resentments against people who didn't want to help just because it was me, is my opinion, okay? Now, that could be very egotistical, okay? However, the more and more things play out, it seems like this demon-filled chick had a lot of people bamboozled, you know, just like any other sociopathic kind of person. You know, they are very charismatic, and they can get people to believe them, and she definitely had a vendetta against me. And now that she is gone and was found with a knife on her and everything I said was probably gonna happen, people are still not apologizing to me. Let's leave it at that. So, my seclusion is, in my opinion, well warranted. You know, protection mode, right? We all know about protection mode. And although, you know, I'm going to dinner, and I'm doing the chapel, and I'm doing my chore, and I'm not like being totally isolated My conversations are very guarded now because things have come back to me that I didn't say at all that people are like, oh my God, well, you breached my confidence. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about because we never talked about this subject ever. So I don't know who the hell is feeding you bullshit. But if you can't remember a conversation you and I had, and if you think we had that conversation, then you're the one who's fucked up, not me. So I got a lot of that going on too right now. And it's just kind of like, you know what? I'm not talking to any of you because if that's the only way that I can save face and not be part of this slander fest and, you know, gossip party that you guys live for, then that's what I'm gonna do. And you can all call me a bitch and you can call me, you know, an elitist and whatever the hell it is you want to call me, because the truth at the end is I'm not here to make friends. This is not why I'm here. I'm here to save my life, and being friends with you people is kind of a deterrent to me saving my life, it appears to be. So I don't need any of y'all, seriously. I mean, like, honest to God, I've been ripped off on money, I've let people borrow shit, never got it back, I've swapped out chores just to be laughed at on Thanksgiving where nobody wanted to help, you know, and it wasn't even asking them to book the job, just like, hey, can you put some shit away because I'm doing the dishes faster than I can get them put up, and you know, and I mean, that's really what it was all about. I mean, it was, it reminded me so much of, like, the military, and maybe, in a way, this is kind of run like the military, but it's like, oh, maybe it's like the Salvation Army. I don't know, but like a Christian-based military for chicks. I don't know, but nothing like Hogar Krea, which I'll get into on a different time, which is another place that I went to after my suicide thing, which was supposedly Christian-based, but was horrific. And I don't think they're any longer in happening. I couldn't think of the word happening, but yeah, that was hellish. So comparatively speaking, I'm telling you, we live in a mansion. The building we live in is like a $10 million house. Yeah, it's not even really seem institutionalized once you get in the doors. It's just like, you know, dorms, kind of like college, I think. You know, you got dorms, you have an upstairs, which if I don't screw up the whole shebang here with a roommate, the disciples live up there, and then the moms and the kids, and there's family rooms up there, and it just it'll just be a whole different ball game, you know. And that's kind of what I'm working towards. So it's like anything, you have to work yourself up from the bottom, right? And right now, living in the dorm situation with all this strife and drama and oh my God, all this stuff that goes on in it, you know, 10 chicks to a room, even though we've never had a full house yet, but the possibility of 10 chicks to a room, and one's a hoarder, and one's a sociopath, and one's 19, and this, and blah, 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 you know, and it's just like, and I'm just in my upper George Jefferson condo, like, what in the hell did I get myself into, you know? But I know what I got myself into, and I know that this isn't going to be forever, and I have faith, right, faith that, things are going to work out to the best, for the best, for me, and for everybody else, you know, and the best for everybody else would be to get me the heck upstairs, because they all hate me, in my opinion, you know, and I guess all is, like, a really subjective word, but quite a few of them really dislike me, and, you know, like I said, I'm not here to make friends, so whatever, dislike me, just stop talking about me, you know, I don't talk about y'all. I've really just knocked down on any kind of conversation about anybody in the house unless they're there and I'm having the conversation with them about them. You know, I don't divulge the AA stuff. I mean, I talk about it here, but I don't divulge, you know, people's names or specifics unless it has to do with me. And that's the way it should be, you know? That's what life is all about, you know? Don't be a gossip. Don't be malicious. Don't be vindictive. Give people grace. And if you can't do any of that, then just, yeah, that's a validation, then just don't participate, right? So, yeah, I love where I'm sitting at right now. It's so beautiful, and the sun just finally came out, because it was chilly. I have apples. Oh, he might want the sandwiches. I don't know what's up with the bird, but, that's really comforting to me, to, have the ravens come back around me. That's something I'm very familiar with. So I don't know what else to say. I don't even know what I was trying to originally say. Just everybody stick with it, you know. Stay compliant. I know I used to be the nomad chick, and now after seeing what has gone down in the house with non-compliance on meds and opening doors for things that, you know, you really don't want coming in. I'm starting to understand now why my doctors tried to beat it in my head for so many years to stay compliant on my medication, because, you know, thinking you're the stigmata or thinking that you're all the stuff I've seen lately with the people on non-compliant on their medication, you don't want it, okay? Yeah, I know it's fun to be manic sometimes. I get it. But to be over, like, to be full-blown manic, it's not fun. We all know it. No, I don't think anybody actually wants to be depressed, you know. I don't think anybody wants to be depressed. But, you know, when you go full-blown major depressive mode and you're starting to think about permanent solutions to temporary problems, that's an issue, too, you know. So, I guess I'm preaching to myself right now, but, you know, stay compliant, you know, go to your appointments, do your labs, you know, do all that stuff that is suggested to you by people who, you know, professional people, and, oftentimes for a lot of you, people who love you and just really want to see you well and back to who you were or who they know you can become, you know, despite your diagnosis. Because like I keep on telling you, it's just a diagnosis. It's just a way for them to bill your insurance. It doesn't mean that's who you are, and it doesn't mean that that's all you're capable of being, because God only knows the capabilities that we have when we're stabilized. You know, I keep telling you guys, we could rule the world. We just gotta, you know, we just gotta posse up and, you know, and not slander each other and be honest about our diagnoses and what is actually going on with us, and don't use it as a crutch, and, you know, be real. Just be real about it. And look at far. I mean, seriously, if I hadn't been real about it and everything, I don't think I would be here where I'm at right now in, you know, my displacement mansion with, I have a couple friends. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I have a couple allies in the house, so I'm grateful for them. And I'm grateful for the staff, you know, and I'm grateful for, it's a mission, but I don't know if it's like in a corporation or a foundation or whatever it is, but I'm grateful for the mission and for how they came around to help people like me and people far worse off than me to get off the streets and get a leg up and out, you know, because eventually I'm going to get a leg up and a leg out, and I'm going to do something very, very powerful with all the information I've gathered while I've been in here and my mental health information, and there's going to be a combination, and watch out, world, because I'm going to be a blockbuster when I get this shit figured out. Yeah, as if I'm not already a blockbuster, but you know what I mean. Anyway, I love you guys. Keep on keeping on, you know, don't give up. I know Christmas is coming, and I'm going to do some shows about how to get through Christmas, because it's going to be a new experience for me too. So, you know, like I said, we got to band together and just, become a united front and who we are and what we can do and how powerful we are and how real we are and how much just like everybody else we really are, you know, because everybody's a little bit fucked up, and don't let them tell you that they're not. So, this is Dawn Sharina. This is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar, and hey, let's all stay alive, okay? Later.